The Federal Aviation Administration will not meet its deadline for safely integrating all drones in the United States. An Inspector General report finds that the FAA has failed to establish a regulatory framework for training and certification of drone pilots. For details, we spoke with Cal Scovel. He is the Inspector General for the Transportation Department. We also talked with Matt Hampton, the Assistant Inspector General for Aviation. Now, Scovel explains the congressional mandate that FAA is supposed to meet.
Congress, in the 2012 Reauthorization Act for the agency, required the FAA to meet a number of tasks, 17 of them, in fact, that were laid out in the statute, in order to safely integrate unmanned aerial systems, unmanned aircraft systems, into the national airspace.
And unmanned aerial systems means a lot of different things, doesn't it?
It sure does, and the term is often used, drones, and while I know that's the lay term that many people use, DOD has UAVs as their term, unmanned aircraft vehicles, FAA and manufacturers on the civil side have settled on the term UAS, unmanned aircraft systems, and that could include everything from a recreational aircraft the size of a shoebox or even smaller, up to very large aircraft the size of a Boeing 737, in fact.
On the big end, the size that might be the size of an airliner, is there anything non-military that would operate in U.S. airspace that's that big?
Not that I'm aware of currently. Matt, what's your information on that?
There are some law enforcement agencies that may use these systems near the border that are technically non-military. There has been a lot of discussion and thought about more larger commercial applications, but those are still very much in the developmental thinking stage.
So nobody's going to fly a 737 with nobody in it to drop 10,000 pizzas quite yet?
No.
Not tomorrow.
Not yet, in fact. And, in fact, the UASs that are in use down on the southern border have been obtained by the border control agencies from the Department of Defense. So they're very similar to the systems that are in use or were in use in Iraq and currently over Afghanistan.
All right. So now the IG's office, your office, has released a report saying that the FAA basically isn't going to meet its most important deadlines. What are your top-line findings?
It comes as no surprise to anyone and the agency as well that it won't meet the very ambitious timelines set out by Congress in the Reauthorization Act. The FAA has been working with an advisory committee of industry stakeholders for 9 years now through its subgroup of the RTCA. And while it made some progress along those lines, clearly Congress and industry thought that it was time to ratchet up the pressure a little bit. So that's what happened with the statute. Our role was not to take any kind of advocacy position. We're not a policymaker. We certainly understand that. We want to stay in our lane. But we had a request from both Senate and House committees, ranking members as well as committee chairmen, simply to report on where FAA was currently and what was the prospect for the future. That's what our report has done.
And Matt, what is the big impediment to FAA meeting this deadline? What's holding up this whole process?
When we looked at this, we found there are a number of areas. First and foremost, there's technological barriers. The technology for see and avoid to make sure that operators can avoid other aircraft is not very mature. A second point is the whole policy and regulatory structure for introducing and certifying unmanned aircraft systems is in its infancy. We're just in the early stages of developing the basic regulatory framework for these new aircraft systems. Very different, dramatic departure from what FAA has done in the past. Another point is they present very unique operational challenges. An important point of our report is they're operating in the NAS, like we spoke about earlier, at some locations. And a very near-term and important issue is getting controllers sufficient training and tools necessary to help them manage unmanned aircraft as well as manned aircraft.
So this would be the standard aircraft controllers that are in airport towers controlling manned aircraft now would have to take on the task of controlling drones?
Exactly. There are facilities that manage high altitude and aircraft on the approach and arrivals. And so far, there are controllers in some locations that have a fair amount of experience now with dealing with unmanned aircraft. And we found that they need better training, more understanding, because, as you noted, not all you unmanned aircraft are the same. They have very different operating characteristics, performance features. So a great deal of training has to be done very soon, and that's a very urgent issue for FAA.
I guess this is obvious, but is the underlying issue the fact that they could bump into a manned aircraft? Is that the fundamental thing they're trying to avoid?
For the air traffic controllers, yes. And FAA's primary goal is safety. And that's what they do now is if they have a situation, they separate traffic significantly away from the unmanned aircraft right now. So the controllers do a very good job of that.
We're speaking with Cal Scovell. He is the Inspector General for the Transportation Department. And Matt Hampton, who is Assistant IG for Aviation. So it sounds like there are almost too many variables to be able to even make any kind of a cogent system to control all of this.
I wouldn't say that there are too many variables. Clearly, it's going to be very difficult. The agency acknowledges they won't be able to make the 2015 deadline for safe integration of UASs throughout the NAS. But there will be ways, as approaches develop and policies are coordinated, for better integration of UASs throughout the NAS. Eventually, that's not to say that UASs will fly everywhere in close proximity to manned aircraft, but FAA eventually will be able to bring this this emerging field of aviation into much greater commonality throughout the system.
I mean, the FAA has a lot on its plate. It's still trying to get the next-gen deal rolled out, and that's a multi-year effort. Do they have the manpower they need, first of all, to do this job on the unmanned aircraft?
Well, that's one of the management concerns that we identified in our report. The technological concerns that Matt identified, as well as the regulatory issues, are certainly key. We identified a third prong that we have termed management, and that is noting that FAA has stood up a UAS integration office. It still needs to work out lines of authority and a clear guidance between that office, other sections within headquarters, air traffic control organization, as well as the flight standards services organization, and then to regional inspectors and other FAA employees out in the field who are the ones actually tasked with going out and inspecting UAS operations, as well as investigating incidents that have come to the agency's attention where UASs are reported to have been in operation in violation of the current rules.
And are they perhaps maybe trying to boil the ocean? Because as we've discussed, there are everything from tiny UAVs that could fly up and get in somebody's way to the giant, really true aircraft. And should they be taking it segment by segment?
Exactly, and that's one of the key findings and one of our key recommendations that FAA agreed with from our report. We recommended that the agency establish a much more detailed implementation plan with milestones and prioritized actions that they need to take in order to advance integration from the near term, the midterm, and the long term, and also to meet its reporting obligations to Congress and meet the very intense interest level throughout the country. I think the agency, this was another one of our recommendations, the agency should establish metrics so it can define the progress that it's been making in meeting the implementation milestones.
Yeah, I imagine business, which really is itching to get these things going for whatever purposes they have, is also a pressure on the FAA that might slow down the process.
It's very much a pressure, and we've seen everything from proposals by Amazon to your somewhat fanciful example of very sizable UASs dropping 10,000 pizzas at a time. I mean, industry, I think, is looking at the possibilities here to achieve greater market penetration, to reduce costs, and also to show that it's really at the cutting edge. And American industry, what it is, very innovative, and they are making proposal after proposal that the agency currently is just unable to accommodate, unable to address. So it's very much a source of pressure for the FAA.
And Matt, would you say that it's true that drone technology and use cases have started to accelerate in recent years. I mean, they have unmanned vehicles going back to the 60s. There were helicopters they developed in the military that could fly unmanned. But in recent years, and maybe even recent months, there's been just a proliferation of these types of technologies?
Absolutely. The DoD has pioneered the use of unmanned aircraft. They've been doing it for a number of years, and they have a tremendous amount of experience. And I think the point you made about the commercial application that Cal talked about as well, I think in the very small, in the small arena of a UAS of less than 55 pounds or so, there are a lot of potential commercial applications that once FAA puts the regulatory structure in place, could have some pretty profound implications. They're viewed as a way to look at, inspect power lines and pipelines, take a look at, and helping in certain rescue operations, bridge inspections, aerial photography, agriculture and checking crops. So there are a lot of applications, as Cal said, that have tremendous benefit and are putting a lot of pressure on FAA to move quite quickly. I don't think this is something that FAA can walk away from. This is, UAS is going to be a front burner issue for the FAA and the Congress for well into the foreseeable future.
And would it simplify things if the FAA just concentrated on safety to people, and if two people's drones bump into each other, well, that's their problem?
I think FAA's number one priority is safety, but FAA's working on a regulatory framework and making sure that people and property are safe as possible.
Right. I mean, there is the, Tom, there is the danger, of course, of mid-air mishaps, but there are also people and structures on the ground that are going to be impacted should there be a mid-air between two UASs up there. So the FAA's safety concerns are really across the board. FAA recognizes that, and that formed the basis for some of the work that went into our report and for some of our recommendations as well. Because as everybody knows, DoD has extensive experience operating their UAVs, both here in the States and overseas. Some pieces of industry, some public agencies, law enforcement departments, for example. Also, the FAA has authorized 6 test ranges, and this was a requirement of the Reauthorization Act as well. And these test ranges, in addition to DoD, in addition to some of the public agencies who are operating UASs with FAA approval, all of those are sources of data and information that we believe FAA should make a much more concerted effort to identify the information available, gather that information, and subject it to sufficient analysis in order to guide the decision making that the agency will make going forward.
And finally, FAA has always been kind of a two-headed beast. There's the operational end, which handles technology and inspections and so forth, and the policy side. This sounds like an effort that crosses the two heads. Is that a little bit of an impediment here also?
It can be. I mean, we've recognized, and FAA candidly has spoken to us and many others as well. It's an agency with several different cultures. Safety has always been paramount, and the Congress properly has insisted that that be the department's and FAA's number one priority. Yet at the same time, it has a relationship with industry so that it has the opportunity, it should have the opportunity to give industry the chance to develop as technology would permit. And UAS, the next gen operation, modern air traffic control modernization, all of those are examples of that. So there is kind of a tension between the outlooks that the agency brings. If I could also mention one more thing, and
sure.
It's one thing that we haven't touched on yet, and that's the whole privacy aspect with UASs.
This is with cameras and looking in on people and this kind of thing?
Yeah, certainly. And we've had a sitting United States senator state that she has observed a drone very close to her residence and found it unsettling. And this is something that every American can sympathize with and is probably concerned about. FAA's primary focus must be and has to be safety aspect of the technological and regulatory and management side. It's recognized the privacy concerns, however, but tangentially. The operational test ranges, the 6 sites around the country, were all required by FAA to develop their own privacy plans before they could be approved by FAA. So FAA has also recognized that local jurisdictions are the ones with the primary say over privacy, And so when police departments and cities and states enact a requirement that police UASs, for instance, can only be flown under a search warrant condition, then that's FAA's recognition of that privacy aspect as too. Now, FAA has a requirement from Congress in this year's Appropriation Act to report comprehensively on the privacy aspects, and the agency is just now developing its plan to meet that requirement. But that will certainly entail input from a lot of different agencies from across government and also stakeholders, both public and private.
And Matt, what, based on the findings of the most recent report, should the FAA do tomorrow?
Okay, our recommendations, we made 11 of them, and there are a couple very near-term ones that we think. Like Mr. Scoville said, we think developing a framework for sharing data among the UAS test sites as well as with DOD. That will advance the knowledge base and the regulatory framework. The second thing we think is very important is an urgent issue, getting operational training for controllers. Okay, and so they can expand their understanding and know what to do when a situation between an aircraft and an unmanned aircraft take place. So those are probably two of the top drawer issues. The third thing probably we would focus on is FAA was required to publish a small UAS rule, something for 55 pounds, and that's something that's kind of important and will help set the pace for introduction of UAS in the NAS. I think FAA is targeting to provide the notice of proposed rulemaking probably later this year.
All right, so the controllers have some work to do, so right now they might have to develop a new language. I mean, when a 777 is coming in, or one of those Airbus A380s, they call it a heavy. When something under 55 pounds comes in, what will they do, call it a sparrow?
Perhaps. But, you know, you make a very good point. The air traffic control language and lexicons developed over a number of years. And that's in the controller's handbook has to be adjusted so they know how to deal with situations. And phraseology is very important.